Hi, everyone. My name is Ali Tehrani, and I am the president and CEO of Zymeworks. Thank you for joining us today and giving me the opportunity to give you a look into what is in front of us. I also want to thank the team at Jefferies for organizing this conference and for giving us the opportunity to discuss Zymeworks and catalysts that are upcoming. Okay, where I would like to start is by acknowledging the fact that most likely many of you are already familiar with Zymeworks and already are familiar with the work that we've done. Given that most recently we initiated our second pivotal trial and our first phase three trial, I want to utilize the majority of my time today to focus on the most relevant shareholder-related information that is critical to your thinking and to the questions that you have. Starting at the very top, Zymeworks is about to go through a radical transformation. Simply put, over the course of the next 3 years, we are on track to have three BLAs, and more accurately, over the course of the next 5 years, we're on track for three BLAs. Sorry, forgive me. We are two BLAs in the next 3 years and three BLAs in the next 5 years. The takeaway from this is that we see a clear lane and a very clear addressable market opportunity to become the leaders in HER2-positive GI cancers. Specifically, as you know, we kicked off our first pivotal study in biliary tract cancer a year ago. And most recently, we started our pivotal phase three trial in gastroesophageal adenocarcinoma. Together, we see an opportunity to get to first sales as early as the second half of 2023. And overall, as we go through the commercial opportunity, we see the opportunity for meaningful sales, the opportunity to address a large number of needs of patients around the world, and of course, create shareholder value. This includes our opportunities in BTC and GEA, alongside potential opportunities in colorectal cancer, and on top of that, eventually including metastatic breast cancer. So today, I want to focus on GI, and I want to focus on why we have the opportunity to become a leader in this space and to create shareholder value. Let's take a step back. The data that has been generated so far in BTC and GEA is very promising. The data that you see on the screen is the data that you've seen before. Starting at the upper left, we've shared over the years that we generated really promising data in biliary tract cancer, so much so that the US FDA granted us breakthrough designation. You see the data there with approximately a 40% ORR and a clear path to become the standard of care in biliary tract cancer. Over to your right, at the very top, you see late line GEA data monotherapy. This is very impressive given that the status of these patients and how pretreated they are, you can still generate a waterfall that looks like that. And then as we move to the bottom, in late-line combination therapy, and then most recently, the data that we shared at ESMO, you see very, very impressive data that together support and showcase our conviction in becoming a leader in the GI space. Let's focus on the bottom right, the most recent data that we shared at ESMO. As you can see here, we generated a data set where just about, if not all patients responded. And the reason why I say all patients responded, even the one patient where hopefully you can see my cursor that looks like a PD, in fact, when you look at the next slide, benefited from Zani plus chemo in the frontline setting. I'll go through that data with you in just a second. Keep that in mind. But that aside, if you look at the rest of the patients, every patient demonstrated anti-tumor activity. And as we go to the right, you see some very deepening responses all the way to what would amount to potentially complete responses. These were deep, durable responses where overall we generated a 75% objective response rate across the use of three different chemo options, including FOLFOX, 5-FU, and CAPOX. And as a result, and looking at the data, we will be moving forward with CAPOX, where in those patients, we generate a 93% ORR. Let's look at the duration. Here, you're looking at what's known as a spider plot, where you get to see how each patient did over time. Each line here represents a different patient. And recall when I told you there was one patient that had a PD, had a clinical benefit, that is this patient with the plus sign. Very early on, this patient was diagnosed with brain mets. However, this patient continued to benefit from Zani plus chemo overall in terms of their primary tumor. And you can see that they stayed on study and continued to stay on study well over 20 months, approaching 24 months. Every other patient's tumor came down and has stayed down. This is indicative of the promising data and the promise of zanidatamab in this setting, overall providing us with what would be a median progression-free survival of 12 months. This data, alongside the other data set that I showed you in the late line setting, mono and combo therapy, provided us the conviction and the support we needed to launch our phase three trial in the frontline setting. Most recently, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, we shared the details of the study, and I will briefly go over some of the details with you next. Here, what you see is the general overview of the design. This study will be a multi-arm randomized study where we will be looking at the combination of zanidatamab plus chemo plus or minus tezolizumab, which is the anti-PD-1 that BeiGene has developed in this trial. Our objective is to demonstrate contribution of parts, and in terms of endpoints, we'll be looking at a PFS and, importantly, an OS endpoint. Some additional details for this study are included in this slide. Basically, the takeaway is that this is a global study. This is an open label with disease assessments per blinded independent central review. The study will be three arms, as I mentioned, and it will be randomized 1:1:1 against all the arms. There is no PD-L1 non-selected patients will be there. And the dual primary endpoints, as I mentioned before, are PFS and OS. In terms of the timelines for this study, the projected enrollment date or period is 24 months. The study has already kicked off and is enrolling patients. We aim to enroll approximately 714 patients. As I mentioned before, and as you can see on this slide, we highlight the primary completion date and the submission of the first BLA in the second half of 2024. So again, we need to go back to what is critical here and why do we believe this study can be successful based on the data that is shared so far. If you look at this slide, you note the different comparable studies, and I do understand we're doing a little bit of a cross-trial comparison, which may not be the ideal way to go, but I think there are some clear, important information here that needs to be noted. At the very top, you see our median duration of response of 16 months. This is highly favorable and advantageous over the competitive or the other competitive studies, including the KEYNOTE-811, where Herceptin and pembrolizumab was combined with chemo with a median duration of 10 months or 10.6 months. And the historical studies conducted by Roche, including JACOB and TOGA, where in JACOB, pertuzumab was combined with trastuzumab and chemo, although that study was not ultimately approved. You can see what the duration of response would be when pertuzumab is added to the equation. And then the study that eventually led to the approval of Herceptin plus chemo in the frontline setting is the TOGA trial with a median duration of response of 6.9 months. Based on this data and having the endpoints of PFS and OS in mind that are critical to approval, you can see why we remain highly confident in our asset of zanidatamab and the ability to address the needs of the patients and ultimately get approvals and get to that BLA and the initial sales that we discussed. This is an opportunity to become the standard of care. This is an opportunity to really define zanidatamab as a foundational therapy in a very large market where a considerable amount of market share can be captured by Zymeworks and by zanidatamab. So let's look at that. What is the market share? And where can we go in terms of addressing the needs of patients and creating shareholder value? First, looking at biliary tract cancer, here what we present to you is the number of patients we believe on an annual basis and on a global basis that we believe conservatively we can help with zanidatamab in BTC. We forecast the ability to help approximately 9,000 to 10,000 patients on an annual basis, on a global basis. And you see the breakdown here based on the number of patients in the United States, ultimately what can become HER2 positive in Japan, in Europe, and then rest of the world coming together to add up to that 9,000 to 10,000 patients a year. When you look at the numbers in gastroesophageal, you see that we forecast being able to help approximately 42,000 patients a year. Again, about 3,500-4,000 coming from the United States, about 10,000 patients coming from Japan, 13,000 from rest of the world, and about 16,000 from EU. So together, when you look at the opportunity in BTC and GEA, we see a large addressable market on an annual basis distributed around the world, and the opportunity to really, as I mentioned in the beginning of this talk, position Zymeworks as a different company, as a company that is about 2.5 years from first sales, especially in an area where around the world that there is a lot of unmet need, and to really define zanidatamab as a foundational therapy in GI cancers. We have additional information and more detailed information above and beyond what I shared on our website relating to the webcast we held about 2 weeks ago. So if you're interested in more details and if you're interested in hearing from our chief commercial officer and chief medical officer, I encourage you to go to our website and listen to that webcast. Now, where I want to go is I want to go back to something many of you have seen over the past presentations, and that is that as much as we have this clear lane and opportunity in gastric cancers, the benefit of zanidatamab extends beyond just gastric. And as we've shared before, we have a viewpoint in being able to displace Herceptin, Perjeta, and chemo in breast cancer, definitely Herceptin, and other agents that have conjugated to Herceptin in the later lines, and ultimately expanding in beyond gastric and breast into colorectal and into other HER2-positive tumor types. And I want to take about, you know, 2, 3, 4 minutes to address that as well. So how are we doing this? Again, as you may recall, we've shown our development plan from zanidatamab in the past. I've already addressed my points in BTC and GEA. And what I want to do is I want to now focus you on the data releases and the flow that is coming in the data that you haven't seen. Specifically, over the course of the first half of the new year, we will be sharing the last piece of the GEA set of studies, and that is the phase two study where zanidatamab plus chemo plus tezolizumab has been enrolling patients and has been generating data. That will come in the first half of the new year. But alongside that, I'm excited to say that at the upcoming San Antonio Breast Cancer Conference, we'll be sharing our late line zanidatamab plus chemo breast cancer data. And that is to be followed by data from our combination with palbociclib, Pfizer's CDK4/6 inhibitor, in the first half of next year, alongside our breast cancer data looking at zanidatamab plus chemo in first-line breast cancer in collaboration with our partner BeiGene. So overall, in the course of the next 1 to 6 months, there's going to be a considerable amount of data coming out from us at various medical conferences and corporate events where we would have the opportunity to showcase why we believe zanidatamab has the opportunity to become a leader in GI cancers and to have a very meaningful addressable market in the breast cancer space. Aside from zanidatamab, there's a lot more that is going on at Zymeworks. As you, many of you know, this year, J&J and BMS advanced two programs into clinical studies built using the Azymetric bispecific platform. And we hope that over the course of the next, or I should say near term, more programs will be entering the clinic to further support why our bispecific platform is the best in class technology out there. Also, earlier this year, we showcased new technology capabilities and new assets that we're developing, including our PROTECT platform, which is a conditional masked multi-specific platform for the development of next generation IO assets. And we also talked about a number of cytokine programs that were generating data, all of which set the stage for data releases and discussions in 2022. I want to thank you for taking the time to stay with me in this presentation, and we look forward to speaking with you one-on-one in the course of this conference. Thank you.